The reading is Psalm 32 on page 560. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you, while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, who have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. This is the word of the Lord.
I'd love you to keep your Bibles open if you can. Page 560 to Psalm 32. We're going to be dwelling in that psalm now, and it'd be really helpful to have your Bibles in front of you to check that what I'm speaking is truth and not made up. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you that you are a forgiving God. A God who doesn't leave us in shame and guilt, but a God who brings forgiveness and life and restoration. And Lord, I pray as we just look at these words and as we just do some business with you this morning, that we'll leave here living more freely in your life because of the truths of what you offer us. And because of the cross, just soften our hearts now to receive your message in the name of Jesus. Amen. I wonder what image comes into mind when you think of confession prayer. Maybe it's this one. Some of you might have come from a Catholic background. This of coming into a confessional and confessing to a priest, and that might be your picture. I think some interesting reason, if we don't come from that background, I think actually sometimes what we do on a Sunday morning in church when we say the confessional prayer can almost be the same sort of thing, that we can just come and we can perhaps, it's not saying that this is, but that we can just come and do it out of duty and think, right, that's that box ticked. Done that bit for the day, I'm right with God again and I'm going to move on for the week. Perhaps actually it can become actually more of a ritual. I think there's some really important stuff about confessing with others that I'm not going to have time to go into today. But that might be one of the pictures you have, or maybe actually you think more of this picture. That actually it's a bit like coming into the headmaster's office and getting a good telling off, and you're sort of desperate to get out as quickly as you can with as little damage as you can and move on. But actually you come in sort of fear. Maybe actually even some of you had different difficult experiences of schools, school life, and actually God to you is a bit like a stern headmaster. So when we come to confession, maybe we come like that. But what about this one? That picture of the prodigal son returning home, bedraggled, a mess, a wreck, but coming and entering into the loving arms of his father. That's the lovely picture of confession that we have from Luke 15, isn't it? I wonder which one of those pictures resonates most with you, or maybe you have a different picture, but I want to just start with the words of beginning of Psalm 32, because this is where it starts, and this is where I want us to start. It says, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit." I think those words are amazing words, which I think actually surely connect more with that third picture, don't they? When we confess and are forgiven, we're blessed. Blessed by God. We're transformed as our sin, our mistakes are no longer counted against us, but they're covered over so that God sees them no more. And actually it's about restoration of relationship, isn't it? Note here, it doesn't say blessed is the one who does not sin, blessed is the one who lives a perfect life. It doesn't say that. But blessed is the one whose sins are forgiven. Right at the start of today, as we reflect on confession prayer, I want us to recognise that God is a God of blessing, who wants to bless each one of us by covering our sin, by forgiving us, by transforming us, by giving us new life and restoring that relationship which has been broken. You see, the prayer of confession leads to blessing. It's an invitation to, more than anything, to come home. An invitation to allow God to put us right again. An invitation to be welcomed back into the loving arms of our Heavenly Father. So don't fear. Don't sit there worried about what's going to happen. God wants to restore relationship and to bless us as we look at this morning. But I want us to think about what do we have to confess? What does God see as sin? And perhaps what do we see as sin? You see, so often I think we only see the things we need to confess as perhaps our wrong actions or words, or maybe our wrong thoughts as well. Those things that we've done or said which have hurt God and hurt others, and which have meant we've not lived as Jesus would have wanted us to live. And I think, you know, if you'd asked me 20 years what we need to confess, that's what I would have said. But I think there's more than that. You see, Romans 3 describes sin as falling short of the glory of God. In other words, I think of that as falling short of what God's created us to be, to bring him glory. So whenever we fall short of the glory of God, actually there's something to confess and get right. And I think as we've been thinking about some of the stuff on Sunday nights recently that Peter's helpfully helped us do, I think there's other things that we perhaps, you might not have even thought of before to confess. And I think this thing of believing the lies of the enemy. So often I think the devil wants to actually make us believe his lies so that we don't live in God's truth. Or maybe lies which have been spoken over us in the past, which stop us being who God has fully created us to be. Whenever we say things like, you know, I can't do that, I'm not spiritual enough for God to use me, I'm unlovable, I'm a failure, I'm just an angry, stroke grumpy, stroke negative person, that's just who I am. I see a few people chuckling. Whenever we say those things and live in those lies, actually we're not bringing glory to God. We're not being who God has created us to be, and I think that's something we need to confess and ask God to help us and change us. And that links in with this next one of not living in God's truth and God's story for us. You know, I think we can live in different stories. I've been thinking a lot about this lately, about how we can misinterpret things and live not in God's story, but in a wrong story. Maybe we've been hurt in the past, And actually we hold on to that hurt and all that damage, and actually we become resentful and bitter with others or maybe even with God's. And we can live in that story and let that story define us. Or we can perhaps actually say, no, actually I'm not going to live in that story anymore. I'm going to live in God's story, where actually God is a good God, where actually God calls us to bless those who curse us and who have hurt us, where God calls us to not hold grudges and to forgive and to restore relationships. And I think there's something actually about, I'm still trying to work this out really, but I'm processing this with you, is that we're called to live in God's story. And when we're not been living in God's story through fear or hurt or disappointment, then actually we need to bring that to God. And we need to confess it and say, God, will you help me to live in your story, in your worldview, in the truth? Just want us to pause for a moment and just perhaps allow the Spirit to even speak to us right now. I wonder whether any of that resonates with you. Just in the quietness, perhaps just close your eyes and just say, Lord, if there's anything that I've never seen before, will you reveal it to me now, of stuff I need to bring to you and to confess, so that I can live in your truth and fully live to bring glory to you. And just hold that, but park it, because we'll come back to it and we'll deal with it if God's brought anything up with you. So what does unconfessed sin do to us? Why is confession so important? Well, first thing I want to say is that unconfessed sin can cause, I think, physical, and I describe it as physical and emotional heaviness. Just have a look at verse 3 here. See what happened with the psalmist. He says, when I kept silent, in other words, when I didn't confess, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. And I think sometimes unconfessed sin really can have a physical and an emotional, mental consequences for us. We too can experience the heaviness that the weight of our sin can hold on us. Sometimes that comes in the form of guilt and shame. We can live for years in guilt and shame that we carry around, and that can torture us and hold us captive. And I think the heaviness that this can bring is the opposite of what Jesus wanted to bring, the lightness of his yoke, if you like. And thinking about what Jesus says in John 10:10, I've come to bring you life, and life in all its fullness. Jesus wants us to bring us life and lightness, not heaviness and guilt and shame. And when we confess and receive forgiveness, we really can, I think, receive a new freedom and a new lightness. I know many examples of people, and I myself too, where I've carried stuff that's been wrong and actually for so long and not exposed it. And then when we've exposed it with others sometimes, and I've done that several times with others, really confess stuff in front of them, because that really brings it into the light. Then actually by doing that, you go away with a new lightness, because that heaviness is gone. I want to just tell you a personal story of my own. A few years ago, I was selling my first house, my first flat in Warwick. And these were in the years, it was 1998. No, it wasn't. It was 2003, something like that. In the years where property market was booming, I mean, literally every week, actually, property market prices were going up 500 quid or whatever. And I accepted an offer on my flat in Warwick, and I found a house in Cheltenham that I wanted to buy, and that was fine. It all looked to be fine, and then the house in Cheltenham fell through. And actually, I was thinking, I haven't got anywhere to go now, and I accepted this offer a few months ago, and actually since then, the property prices are just going up and up and up. And several people advised me, said, actually, you just need to pull out of that and put your house back on the market and break contract with the guy. And I did that. But I felt heaviness. That I'd actually broken a contract, that this guy had spent money in putting in searches on houses and all that sort of stuff. He'd spent several hundreds of pounds. And then I'd just broken contract with him just so that I could get a bit more for my house, just because the other one had fallen through. And for months I lived with that heaviness, and for months actually I looked at house after house after house in Cheltenham and nothing worked out, and several of them looked at stuff and it all just didn't work out. And eventually God convicted me and he said, you know, what you did was wrong. And actually you need to confess and make up. So I found myself one day writing a check to this guy to cover the cost of the surveys and stuff that he'd done, and I found his address and I sent it to him, and felt God said to me, just stick in the Gideon Bible as well. I stuck it in, I didn't leave any contact details of mine, no idea what's happened to it, but I sent it to him. And when I'd done that, the lightness returned and the heaviness went. And I knew I'd done what God had called me to do. After waiting months and living in temporary accommodation in Cheltenham, within about 2 or 3 weeks of this happening, the original house that I'd looked at came up again. And the estate agent rang me and said, do you want it? And I said, yeah. And I managed to get it for 500 quid less than I'd originally paid for it, which is about the same as I'd sent the guy in payment of a cheque for him. And it was just a lovely story of just God's grace and the heaviness being removed and just living obediently in what God's called you to do. So when we repent, our heaviness is lifted. It brings a lightness, I think. Secondly, I think when we have unconfessed sin, it acts as a blockage between us and God. Now, you know, at All Saints here, we know something about blocked drain pipes, because that's what the stains are up on the wall over there from our drain pipes outside. You know, and I think actually this is a bit like sin. You see, actually, God wants the communication to be good between us and God, and he loves to bless us. Here are some roses. And he loves to just bless us and give us good things. But, you know, when we just don't live as God wants us to live, when we just sin, and when we just let things get in the way between us and God, then actually what happens is that acts as a blockage between us and God. I know the reality of it is that God still wants to bless us. But you know, the stuff that we let get in the way, which might be hurt, might be unforgiveness, it might just be actually we're living in wrong priorities, it might be we're living in the wrong story. You know, that all that stuff, that sin blocks us from really knowing God's intimacy and God's blessing, God's love, and knowing God's presence there. And actually what God invites us to do is to say, to deal with that blockage, to deal with that sin. But he doesn't force us on us. He says, actually, look, just deal with that sin. Get rid of it. Unblock the drains. And when we unblock the drains, we so often can receive suddenly a whole load of goodness from God again. I think that was some of my example of that thing in Cheltenham. You see, sin can cause us to have blockages with God. If we're in a place where actually God feels really distant at the moment, then a question to ask us is there something getting in the way? It's not always that, but it's a right question to ask. Is there something blocking my relationship with God? When we decide to confess and deal with it, you know, God, it so often removes that blockage and restores our relationship with God and our intimacy with him again. When we repent, the blockages are removed. What about this one? Unconfessed sin ruins our enjoyment of God. Now, this is a new concept to me. I've been reading, as I've told some of you, this book called Enjoying God. There's one copy left at the back, £7, bargain, cheaper price. You can buy it if you want before you go. But actually, this talks about how do we enjoy God. It's a lovely phrase. New phrase to me. This is part of my journey. And there's a lovely chapter in here about repentance. And what the guy says, Tim Chester, who wrote this, he says, as I've reflected on what it means to enjoy God, I think this is the number one reason I don't enjoy God more than I do. Not enough repentance. He goes on, repentance is the gateway to the pleasures of God. I love that. Repentance is the gateway to the pleasures of God. If we want to enjoy God more, then let's repent and get rid of all those blockages and turn back fully to Him. It goes on, when we let God down by sinning, then the relationship feels broken. It isn't broken. God still loves us. That's the truth. That's a vital truth to remember. But it feels broken to us. We feel ashamed and may opt to keep our distance. The wonderful truth is that when we turn back to God in repentance, then joy in God returns. I've never thought of it like that before, but I found that really helpful. Repentance leads to us enjoying God more. It restores our joy and our peace. Something else I think that actually unconfessed sin leads to is it leads to a hardening of our hearts. You know, Hebrews 3:7 says, "Today if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness." You know, so often I think when we have unconfessed sin in our lives, particularly when we're deliberately going our own way than God, living God's way, we can find our hearts getting hardened. Hardened so that we're no longer open to hear God's words. Hardened so there's no longer the desire and motivation to seek God's ways. Hardened so that we're not willing to hear others speak difficult things in love into our hearts. Hardened so that often we can carry a bitter and revengeful spirit against others. And I think the longer we don't face up to our sin and deal with it, the harder often our hearts get. And the further we can drift away from God and his paths from us. But the great news is that when we confess and repent of our sins and bring them before God, he transforms our hard hearts into a soft heart. Ezekiel 36:25 says, "I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." And that soft heart of flesh is a heart which desires to be in tune with God's heart. A heart of flesh which seeks to love like God loves. A heart of flesh which forgives those who've hurt us, just as God forgives us who's hurt him. A heart of flesh which can tenderly receive the love of God's and share that love with others. You know, when we repent, God softens our hearts again. He takes our hard hearts and makes them a heart of flesh and aligns our hearts with his heart again. There's some of the things, I could have said a whole load more, but there's some of the things which I think confession does. And yeah, I don't know about you, but I want to live on the right-hand side of that. I want to live in those things there. So finally, how do we confess and repent? And I just want to take us through this now, and then we're actually going to do it together. And I think it starts for me by actually just the first thing is that acknowledging our sin. You know, in this chapter here, it talks about the fact that actually the psalmist talks about, "I uncovered my sin." You know, so often what happens is that actually we cover our sin. And we try not to think about it ourselves and try and hide it from others and from God. And the first step is to say, you know, actually, I'm going to uncover my sin. I'm going to look it straight in the face and say, this is what it is. Where we've done wrong or spoken wrong or thought wrong or where we've lived in God's lies or where we've held unforgiveness and bitterness against other people. We've not lived as in God's story. You know, we say that's sin. That's not right. That's not how God wants us to be. The first step is to acknowledge it. And sometimes we need to ask, Holy Spirit, will you reveal it to me? Because we can't even see it for ourselves. So the first step is to acknowledge it, is to uncover it. Stop hiding it. And then the second thing is to confess it, is basically saying, you know, God, I'm going to take my sin and I'm going to acknowledge it before you. And I'm going to express my remorse and my sadness. I'm going to acknowledge how it's hurt you and hurt others. And we come and bring it to God, and we come and bring it to the foot of the cross. And we acknowledge that we've fallen short, that we haven't glorified God, that our actions have hurt God and hurt others. And we acknowledge that by ourselves we can't put it right. But we can; it can be put right because of Jesus and because of the cross. The verse we didn't read out from 1 John 7, 1 John 1 verse 7, talks about the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. You see, the story of the gospel is that Jesus took our sin on himself. Well, we couldn't deal with it ourselves. He took our sin on himself. He took the punishment that we deserved on that cross so that we no longer have to live and carry that sin around us, with us. And so we come in confession, we bring it in remorsefully to God before the cross. And then what we do is we receive God's forgiveness. You know, we leave the sin there. We don't have to carry it around any longer. Verses 5c and 7 say, "You forgave the guilt of my sin. You are my hiding place. You'll protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." So it talks there about the amazing thing that happens is that we take our sin, which had been covered, we uncover it and expose it to God. But then what it talks about is that actually we bring it to God and God covers our sin. He says it's covered, it's dealt with. You don't have to live with that on you any longer. And it's this lovely picture of we go from covering our sin to exposing it, giving it to God, and God covers it again. I love that. And as we go from the place where we're hiding from God in deceit and we're hiding our sin from God to the place where God says, "I am your hiding place." It's a lovely exchange that's happening. God covers our sin rather than us covering it. God is our hiding place rather than us hiding from God. And we receive God's forgiveness. It says you no longer have to carry that stuff, but you actually receive my forgiveness. I take your guilt and your shame and we leave it at the foot of the cross. And you walk away free. That's confession. We acknowledge our sin and we turn and we give it to God. But you know, actually the Bible doesn't simply stop at confession. The Bible talks a lot about repentance. And I think repentance goes even further. Jesus says repent. John the Baptist said repent. It talks about repentance all the time. And I think what happens actually, what repentance is actually not just stopping at 90 degrees, but it's going on another 90 degrees and going 180 degrees. That word repentance means a complete change of mind. It means turning right around. See, when we confess, we turn 90 degrees and give it to God. But actually, when we repent, we turn another 90 degrees and walk in the opposite direction. We walk in God's direction. You know, I think that was what was going on with me in that story I told you. That I could have confessed it to God and said, "I'm sorry for that," and left it there. But actually, God said, "You need to turn another 90 degrees. You need to write that guy a check." And that extra 90 degrees was me writing that guy a check and giving it to him and walking in the opposite spirits. And the lovely thing is here, it shows us in verse 8, isn't it? Verse 8, Jesus says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way to go." You see, repentance is that full submission to say, "God, will you turn me right around and will you lead me in your direction? Will you show me the way I should go and I will follow you?" It's that choice to walk again on God's path, to allow him to guide us and watch over us and to walk again in his love. Verse 10, "The Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him." You know, if we want to experience God's love more than ever before, the way to do is to walk this way. The way to do is to unblock our sin, unblock our drain pipes, so that actually God's love and God's blessing and God's provision can come down, not in a prosperity gospel way, but in a way where we know real intimacy with God. If we want to know that real intimacy, we repent and we turn this way. That's what this guy was saying. Repentance is the gateway to receiving God's joy and God's pleasure. And that's what he invites us to. But sometimes that will be the hard thing. Sometimes that will mean actually where people have hurt us and where we've held grudges before. Actually, we need to turn God's way and walk in that way of actually saying, I'm going to bless and I'm going to love anyway. I'm not going to hold that bitterness anymore. I'm not just going to confess my bitterness, but I'm going to choose to bless that person, to love that person, and to build restoration and relationship with that person that's hurt me. That's what it means to truly repent and walk in God's way. And finally, we rejoice. Like the prodigal son coming home, we can rejoice and God rejoices with us. Verse 11, rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Why are we righteous? Not because of what we've done, not because we're perfect, but because of what God has done, what Jesus has done for us on the cross. That's why we're righteous. Because our sin has been covered by God's. And therefore we sing, all of you who are upright in heart. We rejoice. Have you ever thought how much God rejoices in you when you fully return to Him? I just think, who was here for the prodigal, the lost sheep a few weeks ago when Margaret did that amazing drama? She came down the aisle rejoicing with the sheep on her shoulder. It was a lovely picture of how God rejoices in you when you turn back to Him. When we confess our sins, when we choose to go God's way, to truly repent, God rejoices. There's rejoicing in heaven because we're living in tune with Him, because our drain pipes are unblocked again. And we can fully enjoy God once more, because once more we're back in those loving arms of the Heavenly Father. Blessed, we finish where we started. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them. That's what Jesus offers us. Repentance is the gateway to knowing God's pleasures. And that's what I want. I want to just give us the opportunity to have some space now to do this in our own hearts. And I want to lead you through these 5 steps as a way of just practicing what it means so that we can actually go and do it on our own anyway when we're far from here. And so I'd love just again to be still. And as we start, let's just see that picture more than anything of God with His loving arms outstretched, running to meet us. That's our posture. That's our image of God. He's ready to welcome us home. And so first of all, again, just in your hearts and your minds before God, acknowledge anything that you want to acknowledge to God right now. And I think particularly there's some stuff that God wants to reveal that He hasn't revealed before about actually where we've not lived in God's story, where we've believed the lies and lived in those lies rather than the truth, and that stopped us from being who we really are and bringing glory to God. Just in the quietness of your hearts, just ask God to expose to you and uncover before God anything that you want to uncover right now. Perhaps just have a think, where have you felt heaviness and guilt and shame? Because God wants to take those off you right now. And then just in your mind, just imagine yourself taking that stuff. Just taking hold of it and taking it to God and putting it at the foot of the cross, and even maybe just imagining yourself kneeling there with that stuff and saying sorry to God. Maybe even some of you might want to kneel right now and confess and say you're sorry for where it's hurt God and hurt others and hurt yourself. And perhaps picture yourself kneeling at the foot of the cross where Jesus is on that cross, bleeding and dying for you. And just imagine Him from the cross looking down at you. and smiling at you. And saying your sin is dealt with. It's covered. Because I've dealt with it on the cross. And hear him say to you as he hangs on the cross and looks at you, you are forgiven. And receive that forgiveness, receive that love, receive his blessings, receive his joy, receive his peace. And then imagine yourself getting up from your knees and walking away in the opposite direction. But ask God, what does it look like to truly repent, to turn that extra 90 degrees? Is there an action that God's calling you to do? Is there a letter for you to write? Is there a way that he's calling you to respond in the coming weeks and months? What does it mean to truly repent and walk in his way in this? Ask him now. And then walk in it. Walk away in God's direction, knowing his delight in you, his love in you. Having left the sin, the stuff, the shame, the guilt, the condemnation behind at the foot of the cross. And ask Jesus right now to help you walk that out and walk his way. And as you walk his way, what you see is you see those loving arms of God the Father ready to embrace you. Feel his embrace. Feel him say, well done, you good and faithful servants. Hear him say to you, you are forgiven. Let's throw a party. Receive his love once again. And then picture all heaven. All heaven rejoicing that you've turned around. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit.
Before the throne of God above, we have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest.